and the world. I'm John Batchelor. Malcolm Honlein, Conference of Presidents, Major American Jewish Organizations, my colleague and friend and co-host. And we're very pleased to welcome Josh Hammer, Newsweek's senior editor, as well as a podcaster and a radio broadcaster. His new book, looking forward to it, Sinai Civilization, the Jewish people, Israel, and the fate of the West. All of that speaks to well-known facts of the early 20th century. And Josh, it's a pleasure to welcome you. I am a boomer. Malcolm and I are aging boomers. We're still in the workforce, but it's getting farther and farther from our memories. However, you are right in the thick of it. You're a millennial, and good for you. So the question here is, as I watch these protests, the presentation, which Malcolm and I see completely as anti-Semitism, completely as the horrors of the early 20th century, from the Dreyfus case at the turn of the century to the 1920s and the explosion of anti-Semitism in Germany and Austria, to the 1930s and 40s, the Holocaust, and then the recovery from the Holocaust with the revelations that took place, my memory, late 60s, early 70s. All of that history, was that something that was on your curriculum in high school or college? In other words, I'm looking for an explanation for how these hate speeches can be tolerated as if they were real and not based on vituperation, not the facts. Good evening to you, Josh.
Good evening. Well, John and Malcolm, first of all, it's a real pleasure to join both of you gentlemen. You may self-describe as boomers, but I call myself something of a self-hating millennial, actually. So perhaps we have something in common if we hold some disdain for our own respective generations. The first point I want to make, John, is that I want to heartily agree with what you said, that what we're currently seeing can be explained in no other terms than raw, unambiguous anti-Semitism. There have been very few people who I think have been louder in making this point over and over again since the 7th of October than myself on social media and my columns on my various podcasting and radio broadcasts and things like that. I have been shouting this from the rooftops. And obviously what's been happening in Teaneck, New Jersey would just be one particularly galling example, but there's too many examples to count. There was the incident at Cooper Union where there were Jewish students physically trapped in a library with pro-Arab protesters banging on the doors. You had the situation at George Washington University in Washington, D.C., where the pro-Hamas jihadist sympathizers shot "Glory to our martyrs," for God's sake, onto the side of an academic building. It's raw Nazi-style Jew hatred. I just don't know how else to explain it. We're not academically debating here whether or not there should be an independent so-called Palestinian state in Judea and Samaria. We're literally talking about genociding the Jews. I mean, that was the literal subject of that congressional testimony from Claudine Gay, Liz McGill, and Sally Kornbluth in the U.S. Congress back in early December. So I want to heartily underscore your point. It is emphatically correct. To your other point as to how we can possibly explain this, I think it's a combination of a few factors. You alluded to education, and I think that education does have a lot to do with it. As you've had the rise of this modern critical theory, this modern woke movement, this general view of all of society as this fabricated faux dichotomy between oppressors and oppressed, really starting in the late 1960s with the campus radicals and in subsequent decades bursting out into the open, you do have this view of history, which seeps into the way that history is taught in schools, that will tend to highlight or not highlight certain subjects that fit that narrative. And the Holocaust happens to be a highly inconvenient subject for the woke and the critical theory because it is the worst genocide that's ever been perpetrated against a people in the entire history of the human species. And it happens to be perpetrated largely, not exclusively, but largely against the people, the Jews, who today are called by those very same people to be oppressors. So by definition, they have to kind of hide the Holocaust. I think back to my own high school history course, and I think I got a decent education, actually. But I don't recall the Holocaust being the focus of more than a few paragraphs in my AP history textbooks in high school. We were focused largely even on other assets or facets, I should say, of World War II itself. But I want to just make one other point as well, which is, and this is the final point I'll make on this, I think what happened in America in the decades after the Shoah, after World War II, you had what I've seen some people refer to as the golden age of American Jewry. And I think the world and America, to no small extent, felt some guilt, felt some real guilt over what had happened. And that played out in concrete terms in Jews being able to do what Jews do best, which is when we have a meritocratic order, when we are faced with meritocracy, we generally we succeed. I mean, we get into positions of power because, you know, X, Y, Z reasons. We're a culture that values education and all of that. And that golden age, it seems like to me, is just coming to an end. And it's coming to an end partially for the education reason, but partially just because we're getting further and further from the mentality of guilt. At this point, I think the people who would have more guilt are perhaps more of your generation than my generation. And you have fewer and fewer Holocaust survivors who are living witness to give their testimony. All these factors, unfortunately, I think, combine to kind of lead to where we are today.
Malcolm?
We have a situation, I mean, on your point, that almost a quarter of young people don't believe the Holocaust or happened, or not only Holocaust denial, but Holocaust diminution. So how do you address, I wouldn't call it guilt, I would have called it a sense of responsibility that obtained during that period, but obviously a sympathy that translated to Jews and with the creation of the state and struggling, that as long as Jews are dying, people support it. The question is whether they'll stand up to support living Jews in a living Jewish state. And when Jews defend themselves, that goes against the grain and then becomes the source for anti-Semitism. So is there a way to reverse this trend? What we're seeing in high schools, in elementary schools, let alone in universities, it's so disturbing. We can see a whole generation arising, which will be very much a blank check for the haters.
So unfortunately, there's no panacea. I mean, there's no kind of one size fits all easy solution here. But I think we have to begin the work of reversing the very trends that I was just talking about. I really do place a lot of the blame on the metastasis of this ideology. You can call it critical theory, you can call it wokeism, you can call it DEI, whatever you want to call it, that essentially arbitrarily divides all of society into oppressed versus oppressors. And the idea just, I mean, first of all, even taking that on its own terms, the notion that Jews are oppressors is insane. It is absolutely insane. We are quite literally the most oppressed, the most pogromed, the most genocided people in the history of people. So it's facially absurd, even taking it on its own face. But they, nonetheless, the people who promulgate and advocate for this particular view of the world, they do say that Jews fall into the oppressor half of that matrix. And that is doing so much harm right now to just brainwash this nation's youth, the Gen X generation, millennial generation, and to view Jews and the Jewish state as an oppressor and as a force for evil on the world stage. And I think that starting to make inroads in the educational curricula, whether it's in the university professoriate and academia, just starting to do what little we can to root out and extirpate this cancerous ideology, I really do think that will do a lot, frankly. And you know, I have other thoughts as well. I mean, one of the refrains that I've heard over the past few months when it comes to Americans starting to question the importance of the U.S.-Israel relationship is I hear a lot of people saying, oh, what does Israel do for the United States? The U.S. gives them so much aid every year. What does Israel do to the U.S.? And I think that Israel and American Jews need to do a better job, frankly, of explaining that. So this strike on the IRGC Quds Force officials in Damascus, Syria earlier this week is a great example. Israel took out there quite literally the guy who was ultimately responsible for the death of three Americans at Tower 22, the American base in Jordan, back in late January. I haven't heard a lot of people make that point, for instance. I mean, you want to talk about what Israel does for the U.S. That would be a pretty, pretty spot on point. So I would like to hear more people on our side just try to explain it and reason with that. But reasoning can only take you so far because you are dealing ultimately with dogma and ideology. And some of this is tragically somewhat impervious to reason, I fear.
Josh, a final minute here. The history that I went through very quickly. The Nazis, the National Socialists, Hitler, his gang, is that something that the young people understand, what that represented? Not just a threat to the Jews, but it was a threat to mankind. Do they understand that?
No. The short answer is no. I simply do not think that they do. And part of that is just the simple fact that our generation simply has not experienced anything like that in memory. So I'm actually a great example. I'm 35 years old. I was born in 1989, the year that the Berlin Wall fell. I have only lived my entire life, not just in a post-World War II, but in a post-Cold War world, right, where America has been the sole dominant power. Now we're seeing the rise of China, of course, but our generation quite literally has not experienced anything like that. And I do think that historical lack of memory is definitely part of the problem.
Josh Hammer, Sinai Civilization. That's what we're looking towards. the Jewish people, Israel, and the fate of the West, which pretty much sums it up, Malcolm. Malcolm Hohenlein, Conference of Presidents, Major American Jewish Organizations. I'm John Nash.
Stay tuned for more of CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor.